Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. We announce to the congregation that it hath pleased the Lord to take Mrs. Janice de Kock on Wednesday morning in Bethesda at the age of 93 years by the hand of death. The funeral took place yesterday morning. Let us sing together of Psalter 10, the stanzas 1 and 3. In the fullness of thy grace, to thy house I will repair, bowing toward thy holy place, in thy fear will worship there. And what follows, Psalter 10, the stanzas 1 and 3. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 16, the verses 16 through 34. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 16, the verses 16 through 34. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer that the Koch family and further relatives, with the death of Mrs. Janice de Koch, Mark and Barb Vanderhart and family, with the death of her sister in Ontario, and Mr. and Mrs. Andrea and Natasha de Koch, were blessed with the birth of a baby girl. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it is thy good and thy gracious hand that is granted unto us and our children another Lord's day, and that in this morning hour that the doors of thy house have been opened by renewal, then thou hast yet made a difference where there is no difference, where in the day of yesterday, then a family was called upon to go to the cemetery and to bury a beloved mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, sister, and further relative. Then thou was granted that she could come to a very high age. And even in her high age, in her frail condition, then death has still come so unexpectedly. Then we commend that whole mourning family unto thee. And, O Lord, may the calling and thy word be blessed, that out of this death, that thy kingdom may come. Another father and mother, they have received the tidings that it has pleased thee to take out of this life by the hand of death a beloved sister. And not so long ago, at the end of the past year, they were called upon to bring to the cemetery their beloved daughter. And now by renewal the tidings of death have come. Wilt thou strengthen, wilt thou help, and that also this calling may be sanctified. Lord, remember all the mourning ones in our midst, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. Then it has also been experienced in the past week that one generation goeth and another generation cometh, where thou wast blessed the father and mother by renewal in their married life with the birth of a little child. Then thou wast spared life, and then thou wast given life. Wilt thou grant a humble and a broken heart, and that the parents there may be those moments that they may be given to sprinkle their precious little gift with their tears, on the one hand because of thy goodness, but also with a profound impression, a little child that has a beginning, that has begun her journey to a never-ending eternity. And to that end may the prayers be multiplied, that it may be a little one for thee. Wilt thou strengthen the mother? Wilt thou help the father with his increased responsibility together with mother? We commend unto thee the grandparents, and also the great-grandparents, one has went away of all flesh in the past week. Then we commend unto thee the mothers with the unborn, and, O Lord, do remember the barren ones. Then in the midst of death, then in the past week, then thou wast granted many precious gifts from above, where thou wast graciously watched over us in the home, on the way, at work, wherever we were called to be. Then thou wast not dealt according as we deserve, because if thou had done so, then we would not have a place with our children within the walls of thy house of prayer. But then also in the past week, we would have been carried to the grave. Lord, may it please thee to bind the reality, the seriousness of life in these serious times upon all our hearts, and that there may be a hastening for our life's sake. Lord, thou knowest that it is thy work, and thou hast appointed the means to that end, because thou gatherest thy church by thy word through thy Spirit, but oftentimes also thou usest providential circumstances, thy goodness, but also difficulties and death to that end, then thou speakest in so many ways unto us and our children. And then on another Sabbath day, then thou can surely say unto us and our children, what more could I do to my vineyard than I have not done unto it? But, Lord, thou knowest how deep that we have fallen. And to that end, in this morning hour, then we humbly beg of thee for the loving and the powerful work of thy Holy Spirit, that ears may be unstopped and that hearts may be opened to receive and to hear the words of the living God. O Lord, may they be the words of the living God indeed in this morning hour. Then it shall be a service that shall not be forgotten. O bless then thy word for the conversion of young and old, but also for the further instruction of thy people. Thou knowest where they are encamped, and thou knowest the many questions, the many riddles, the many perplexities, those times that they know it no more. But, Lord, thou wast promised to never forsake what thou hast begun. We commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. Thou wast granted in the past week that our classes could meet, and where they further hope to meet in the future. So we commend all the congregations unto thee. Remember all those that labor in thy vineyard. We remember the young couple who were united in holy matrimony in the past week, and where for them as a young couple, it is the first Lord's Day in their married life. And may it be a special and unforgettable Lord's Day, and that shall be when thy word shall be blessed. Lord, remember all the sick and afflicted ones, all those under the physician's care. Thou knowest the concerns, thou knowest the fears. May it all be used that sin-sick souls may be brought under that care of that heavenly physician who can save not only the body, but who has come to save his people from their sins. Wilt thou remember our elderly ones? Remember Bethesda, whereby renewal and empty places come, a large mourning family, Lord. Do remember and uphold them, and that it may please thee to work lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of young and old. We now humbly beg of thee for the opening of thy precious testimony. Do open the heavens, do open our mouth, do open our hearts. Lord, remember all the listeners. Remember those at home on account of lawful circumstances, when they may listen along. Wilt thou also grant there thy blessing? Remember the little children. Wilt thou help them to listen and help them to understand? And what is necessary for the little ones, that is necessary for us all. Lord, remember us so with thy favor, that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, do visit us with thy salvation. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 76, the stanzas 1 through 4. And now unto Jehovah, ye sons of the mighty, all glory and strength and dominion accord. Ascribe to him glory and render him honor and beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord. And what follows, Psalter 76, the four stanzas.
Thank you.
In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, the portion of Scripture which you can find in Acts 16, the verses 25 through 34, and we shall read the verses 29, 30, and 31. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Our text words speak of diverse voices at midnight in the city of Philippi, with four thoughts. In the first place, the praising of persecuted apostles. Secondly, the speaking of an almighty God. Thirdly, the cry of the desperate jailer. And fourthly, the preaching of the glorious gospel. Diverse voices at midnight in the city of Philippi. And then for our boys and girls, then we shall make the four points very simple, that you can remember them and that you can even ask your parents if they remember them. Thus, four voices at midnight in the city of Philippi. The first voice was of Paul and Silas, that in prison, that they have prayed and they have praised the Lord. The second voice, that was the voice of the Lord, because the Lord has sent an earthquake, and children, you know what an earthquake is. That is when the Lord caused the earth to tremble and to shake, and that is accompanied with rumbling and with noise. Then the third voice, that was the voice of the jailer, the keeper of the prison, when he has said to Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And the fourth voice, that is the voice of the glorious gospel, where Paul and Silas were given to declare, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." Thus, children, I think you can remember those four voices. Our first point, the praising of persecuted apostles. We read in this chapter that the Lord has given special direction to the servants of the Lord to go to Macedonia, where Paul, in a night vision in Troas, was given to hear the cry of that Macedonian man, "Come over and help us." And then the next morning, immediately, they have went in a boat after, in a short journey, have come to Neapolis. And then they have traveled 8 miles northward to come to the city of Philippi, undoubtedly expecting that there would be a large congregation waiting for them to preach. But that was not found, but on the Sabbath day, They went to the riverside, and there were some women gathered where prayer was wont to be made. That is so necessary in the midst of a church. And then they have preached, and then we read simply that the Lord has opened the heart of Lydia, that she attended unto the things spoken by Paul. We have read together that in that city there was a girl possessed of the devil, and those are mysterious things, that she was given to tell the future for people. And in that way, her master has made much money. And then that servant girl, day after day, has followed the apostles crying out, "These are the servants of the living God, and they show unto us the way of salvation." And then we have heard it, that the devil was rebuked. The masters have become angry. Oh, if it had been right. And then we also see in that history the power of the dollar. Then the masters have become angry because they have lost their income, and they were brought to the magistrates, and then they were beaten and they were cast into prison. It is clear that when they have come to the city of Philippi, that there were four, not only Paul and Silas, they were cast into prison, but we read in the first three verses of this chapter, also what Timothy at Lystra has accompanied them, and also in verse 10, then we read that word "we." And I think many of our children, at least when you have become a little older, then look by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then he has written the book of Acts. And to that end, there was Timothy, Luke, Paul, and Silas. And now we read that the jailer, the keeper of the prison, he was not such a kind man. I read in Proverbs 12, verse 10, that the righteous man careth for his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Then that jailer, then he has taken Paul and Silas after they have been scourged with the raw backs. Then he has thrown them into the inner prison. And then he has placed them in the stocks. Maybe, children, you know what stocks are. That is two boards with hollows. And then their ankles would be put between, and then they would be screwed together. And so likely Paul and Silas had to lay on that dirty, that cold, that moist dungeon of earth with their raw backs in that position. Oh, how often the Lord grant us so many reasons. Also, when we read of Paul and Silas, have we thought about it, boys and girls? And of course, congregation, when I speak to boys and girls, then I expect parents to listen for their sons and daughters, and also to apply it to ourselves. But this past week, that we think about it, the special blessing that in the evening we may have a soft bed with a soft pillow, for many, for most, not a single ache, may be tired, and that the Lord grants a night of sleep, and perhaps a few thoughts of the Lord about our soul, our sins, another death in the family circle, that one thing needed, and perhaps a few, has that been so, congregation, who in a little way have resembled Paul and Silas. They have prayed and they have praised, and the prisoners have heard it. Oh, surely in a prison that is not a good place to be, because undoubtedly there's much cursing, much bad language, can multiply it out. But now Paul and Silas, they did not only have a religion for times of peace, times of prosperity, but they also had a religion which was experienced by the grace of God, time of afflictions, and even for the hour of death. How is it with our religion, congregation? Have we received that one thing needful, the Lord for our portion? Have we made that good choice? Have we been converted, drawn by the cords of love, and led into the wonderful mysteries of salvation? Then we read that Paul and Silas have prayed. What do you think they have prayed for, congregation? Oh, undoubtedly for that young daughter, because what a pressure she must have been under, maybe beaten, that the master said, you must do what you have done formerly, and that she has said that I cannot do. Then how they must have prayed that the Lord would grant them endurance to continue to suffer. They have experienced that their master was first arrested and then crucified, perhaps their portion. Oh, undoubtedly they have prayed where the Lord has already done wonderful works, Lydia and her household, and that young daughter who was a special servant of the devil, so wonderfully delivered, that the Lord may use it for the further coming of his kingdom, because our forefathers have stated that they believed that there were few single conversions. Oh, undoubtedly they have prayed that if it was the Lord's will, that at his time they would be delivered, that they may continue to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ to the nations that have never heard the word of God. But they have not only prayed, but they have also praised. What do you think they have praised? Of course, it is not written all in the Bible, but when we think of Paul, oh, then it cannot be different, that he has praised his God, that he was not the jailer, but that he was the one in jail. Oftentimes the Lord reminds his people, and young people, I hope, that you may be kept from going into the world and the places of vanity. But for a Paul, it cannot be different, that he was reminded of his former life in a zeal for the Jewish traditions, that he has arrested many, and that he was the cause of the death of many a saint. Oh, it cannot be different, that he has praised the Lord, that he was counted worthy to suffer for the cause and kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the eighth beatitude, which we find in Matthew 5, the verses 10 through 12. Blessed are ye when ye are persecuted, as Christ not said unto his disciples, In John 15, verse 20, they have persecuted me, they shall also persecute you. But he has also said in chapter 16, verse 33, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Oh, then they were given to praise the Lord, that they received the headship of being a servant of the Most High. Oh, then they have praised the Lord, that already thus far their labors have not been in vain. They have not been in that city so long, and they have received fruits upon the preaching of law and gospel. Oh, they were given to praise the Lord, that they may experience, because in that prison, do we not read in Job 35, verse 10, but no man saith, where is God, who giveth psalms in the night? And I read also in Psalm 42, verse 8, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Oh, then it cannot be different, that the apostles were given to meditate. Oh, they were given to suffer for the name and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that was not meditorial. And has Paul not also written in Romans 7, O wretched man that I am, the remaining infirmities. But how often it takes place that it pleases the Lord, that the suffering of his children may be sanctified, that on a sickbed that they are given to meditate upon that precious mediator who was suffered so deeply. No, he was the Lamb without blemish. He had no original nor actual sin, but he has suffered, the willing servant of the Father. Oh, that his church may be saved from all their sins. For Paul and Silas, it was a blessed place to be. Oftentimes the Lord not obligated, and we live in a time that it seems that also in the life of God's people, it seems that many affliction and many a trial, that it works out so little. But what a privilege. Oh, for Paul and Silas, given to pray and given to praise. Our second thought, the speaking of an almighty God. The city of Philippi was at rest in those days, not street lighting, pitch black dark, maybe here and there a dwelling with a candle, a mother feeding her child, or a sick one, but for the rest, quietness and silence. Although we have heard in the prison, there was prayer and praise. How the prisoners must have been astonished, how they must have listened. But now we read, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. We do not read of so many earthquakes in the Bible. Although Jesus has said at the latter days the number shall greatly increase. In Amos 1 verse 1, we read concerning the prophecy of Amos in the reign of Uzziah and Jeroboam 2 years before a great earthquake. Was an earthquake with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, where many saints have risen. And now in this chapter, upon prayer and praise, suddenly there was a great earthquake. Many times the Lord sends earthquakes because of a lack of prayer and praise. When people do not hear or at least listen and obey sermons, then many times the Lord sends sermons which they can hear. Then the Lord sends earthquakes, can be in many ways, in the realm of nature, the economy, sickness, that a people may awaken out of their sleep. And what a blessing it is, accompanied by the Holy Spirit, when those earthquakes may be blessed. We read, as so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. It is also necessary that the foundation of our false hopes, that they are all shaken, and that we learn that we need that one thing, that is to be born again, and as a poor sinner to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, upon prayer and praise, the Lord has spoken. What a privilege. An answer upon their prayer, and an answer upon their praise. We read in Acts 4, verse 31, when Peter and John were released after giving such a precious testimony to the Sanhedrin and given to relate what has transpired, that the place was shaken, they were given to rejoice with joy unspeakable, but it is not specifically mentioned, an earthquake. Prayer and praise. A special answer from heaven. What a blessing and what a privilege when that takes place. That is a token that the Lord knows of us. How many prayers were there is not awaiting for an answer, as so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed, thus it was a mighty earthquake. And now the prisoner, the jailer was sleeping. The keeper of the prison, he was awakened out of his sleep. Oh, then I think how oftentimes we have to say that how I resembled that keeper of that prison, because he did not hear the prayers, he did not hear the praise. More was necessary to awaken him. But now the Lord has spoken in a special way by the means of that earthquake, and that he did hear. Maybe there are even those that say in this morning, seems that I have even come lower than the keeper of the prison, because in my life, family circles, not only hear prayer, praise, preaching of the law and the gospel. But the Lord has also sent earthquakes in my life, special callings, maybe times when the Lord has put his hand between me and death in a special way, other times sickness, death in the family, and it seemed what we have heard last week out of Job 23, verse 16, for God maketh my heart soft, but I have still continued on my way. At least the keeper, he was awakened how necessary to ask the Lord when he comes with special speaking and special callings, that it may be used, that it may be sanctified, accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit. A great earthquake, great wonder has taken place. With that earthquake, the foundations of the prison were shaken. All the doors were opened, and yet the building did not crumble and kill the prisoners. Thus, in this history, then we read many wonders. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, drew out a sword and would have killed himself. It was in the Roman Empire. You were a keeper of the prison, and a prisoner would escape. Then you would have to die for that prisoner. That is clear in Acts 12, when Peter was in prison, and that the angel, in a wonderful and mysterious way, has led Peter out of that prison, the doors opened by themselves. And then the keepers of that prison were examined, and they were put to death. In the Roman Empire, and in heathen countries, then sometime under certain circumstances, it is even looked upon being honorable and taking your own life. But of course those heathens, they had no impression of what is written in the Bible, that a murderer cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. May it please the Lord to keep us and our dear children. There can be impossibilities, difficulties, stress, shame. Then a person can come in such a dark and such a black pit, and the opening so small, maybe no opening, where it seems no hope and no expectation. But then the Lord says unto us the same, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. That's when there are difficulties, impossibilities, when we have a character that is easily depressed. May the Lord keep us, and then let us always remember this word, do thyself no harm. Then the Lord says unto such a one, bow your knees, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee. Then the Lord says unto such a one, do thyself no harm. Open the scripture which I have given you. Read the Psalms, other portions, where there have been such that have come in such depths, Psalm 142, David in the cave, where he has poured out his heart before the Lord, it seemed. No refuge, no one cared for my soul. But he was given to say, when my soul is overwhelmed, then thou knewest my path. Was also the word of Paul to the keeper of the prison. Could, of course, broaden it out. Do thyself no harm. Also concerning our body. Alcohol. Drugs. Even mentioned smoking. Evil music. Evil pictures. Bad pictures. You know what I mean. Then we read in this verse, do thyself no harm. Read the scriptures, bow your knees, and ask the Lord to help and to deliver. Then he called for a light and sprang in. Oh, much instruction. And the conversion of the keeper of the prison. He called for a light. Also profitable instruction for the child of God. I read in Psalm 36 verse 9. In thy light we see light. Can be in the life of a child of God, that the Lord instructs, speaks, grants light, faith to embrace the same. But now for the fulfillment thereof, then it oftentimes pleases the Lord to go through mysterious and unfathomable ways. And then it becomes dark. And then our old fathers have said, when it becomes dark, then you must not take any steps. But then you must remain where you are. And try to humbly ask the Lord that he may grant some light. Sunlight, because even with artificial light, then sometimes we do not see things aright. Thus, the keeper of the prison, he has asked for light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. The Lord has shot an arrow of love and conviction into the heart of that keeper. And that is evident in the words we have written. And sprang in. He had a desire to be with Paul and Silas. Given to believe. We read in Romans 10 verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And undoubtedly the keeper of the prison has also heard what has taken place in the city of that servant girl that has cried out continually, these be the servants of the Most High God, and show us the way of salvation, that keeper was given to see that Paul and Silas, that they were servants of the Most High, and that the keeper has made that good choice, had a desire to be with them, with the belief that he was safe. Also upon those words, because Paul has not only said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. He was given to see the wonderful works of the Most High God whom these servants served. Because under normal circumstances, boys and girls can understand it. When you have prisoners and the doors go open, then they all try to escape. But the wonderful work of the Lord, that they were still all stayed in the prison and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out. Then we see repentance. We see the wonderful work of conversion. Of course, the Lord is free. John Newton, he has stated in a certain place, it is the general way concerning conversion that God's people do not resemble a mushroom, but an oak tree. You know what I mean, boys and girls? Sometime a mushroom. All of a sudden, was not there the day before, and the next day there is a mushroom on our lawn. Thus very quickly appears, and usually quickly disappears. But an oak tree, that takes longer to grow. Sometime when we look at a tree, we cannot see it grow. Although, after perhaps a year, then we say the tree has become a little taller. But the Lord is so free and sovereign in the way that he teaches his people. But they are all taught the same things. And now already in the life of the jailer, the keeper of the prison, then we are given to see that sorrow and that repentance. Because before he asked that important question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Then he first brought them out of the prison. That declares the love for those servants and for the God of those servants. Our third thought, the cry of the desperate jailer, we shall first sing Psalter 188, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. And what follows, 188, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. diverse voices at midnight in the city of Philippi, the praising of persecuted apostles, the speaking of an almighty God, and now the cry of the desperate jailer. Then we have heard that the jailer in beginning has already tried to rectify what he has done so wrong. He had an impression that the Lord was speaking. Servants of the Most High God, where the Lord has taken it up for them, and he has treated them, it is true, much ignorance. But God's people learn that their ignorance does not take away their sin, that the justice of God requires that each and every one of our sins must be punished with temporal and eternal death. Nevertheless, when the Lord works, no, we can never redo. We can never undo our sin. It is written on our account. But what we are able to rectify, think of Zacchaeus. When he was called down out of the tree, then he was given to confess that if he had taken anything by false accusation, he would restore fourfold. And to that end, the keeper of the prison, he did not ask that question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Leaving Paul and Silas in the prison. But then it is clearly written before and brought them out. Shall be repentance? No. The church learns that we shall never be saved because of our repentance. Because the church learns that they even need to repent of their repentance, all polluted with sin. But without repentance, it shall not be, cannot be different. When the Lord worketh that love that is evident in the conversion of the keeper of the prison, that he received the love because we have heard that he came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Thus respect, called them sirs, that is a name of respect. And then a very important question, not so long, but a crucial question, and that is necessary for each and every one of us, that we become exercised with that question. The jailer did not in the first place ask about the prisoners. No. A question about his never dying soul. What must I do to be saved? What does that imply? Then he is telling Paul and Silas, "I am lost." Could be asked, because the Lord always works through his word, by word and by spirit, that keeper, he was a heathen. How did he not know, now know, that he needed to be saved? Very well possible that the Spirit has brought back those words, what that servant girl has cried out under the influence of the devil. that those words were used, that the Spirit has brought him back, dead as a thunderclap at midnight. These are the servants of the Most High, and show us the way of salvation, that in a short moment, a very short moment, that the Spirit opened everything up for him, that he needed salvation, that he needed to be saved. He was a sinner. What, sirs, what must I do to be saved? It's true in those words. We can even read something of the covenant of works, but nevertheless, the keeper, a profound impression that he needed to be saved. And our congregation, young and old, has that now become your concern and your question? Your main concern does not mean there are not other concerns. There's a blessing when also temporal concerns, temporal blessings, that they may end with that question. Oh, Lord, thou art so good for me and my family. Thou so richly blessest us. Thou also send special callings. But the main question, what must I do to be saved? Does that become real? Does that bring us many times in secret places, even during the night watches, that we are given to beg and to cry, oh Lord, my sins, so blessed, so privileged, and what shall it be to go lost forever and ever? Lord, I cannot live under thy wrath. I cannot exist under thy curse. The sins upon my back, they are a heavy burden. But Lord, is there now a way? What must they do to be saved? That keeper, it is implied in those words that he was willing to do anything and everything that was required as long as he may be saved. What are we willing to do for the welfare of our soul's congregation? Oh, when the Lord works, then it becomes earnestness. So it was in the life of the jailer. Our last thought, the preaching of the glorious gospel with a rich young ruler. When that ruler has come to Jesus concerning eternal life, then he has uncovered deeper. But here, a sinner at his wit's end. And then all for the apostles. Then they were given 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And there they were given to declare, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We read of many other words. Oh, there they were given to declare how that the Father has given his dear Son, that he has assumed a human nature, how he was willing to be the servant of the Father, how he was willing to suffer, that he was nailed on the cross, but that he is risen again, that he ascended, sitteth at the right hand of the Father. O Lord, that is Master, that is Owner, Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins, O jailer, then he was willing to come for a people that has ruined everything, that has sent everything away, 1,000 times worthy to be cast into hell. But he has come that the chiefest of sinners may be saved, O jailer, that only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Then the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Ah, then for that jailer that was balm for a wounded soul, that was that heavenly physician declared, oh, what was Emmanuel, God with us? What must I do to be saved? To be saved from our sins, from our guilt, from the punishment, and to be restored into that blessed communion. What a tiding that was for the jailer. Are there a few souls? Thou do not know it anymore. Oh, cannot deny what the Lord has done. And maybe before the Lord begun, then you could tell exactly how the Lord converted his people. The depths, the ways, and maybe at the beginning, from strength to strength, and so appear in Zion. But maybe in this morning, the soul that does not know it anymore. Lord, is there still a way for such a one? Then what a glorious message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord grants unto his children, it's time his way, that faith to believe and embrace. Then further the fruits, because it is written in the Bible, by the fruits ye shall know them. And they spake unto him the word of God, and to all that were in his house. And then the same hour, all those stripes, that scourging, and the keeper is placed upon their back, that became a sin. Oh, boys and girls, not in a physical way, but how can we place stripes upon our father and mother, teachers and office bearers? That's when you disobey and go the wrong way. Go into the world, a false religion. Those are deep stripes upon the backs of parents that keeps them awake. May you be given to ask the Lord that you may be kept, that you do your best to please and obey him. And when that takes place, when the Lord converts, then just like the jailer, then we think much of those stripes. And then we try to do what we can to rectify them. We read it in the life of the keeper of the prison. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced. No first. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized. This it is clear. Paul and Silas have also spoken of the sacrament of baptism, the sign and the seal of the covenant. And in that way, in the New Testament church, then a people were openly given to confess and choose for Christianity, the doctrine, the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, and was baptized in all the straight way. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced. Oh, we have heard it. Have you heard it, young people? That even God's people may be given to rejoice in times of trials and afflictions. But what a rejoicing and what a praising it must have been in that house of the jailer. The wonderful works of the Lord. And then we even read, believing in God with all his house. The Lord has done great things. May we and our children be given to ask of that great God for great things, a richer outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Many hearts may be renewed, many made soft. See it in the realm of nature. How green, how lushy, how beautiful. We shall close with what Paul has written to the Ephesians concerning his wonderful works in Ephesians 3, the verses 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ through all ages, world without end. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of thy wonderful works. Those wonderful works are so necessary for us and for our children. May it please thee to magnify those works in a richer measure among young and old. Lord, do it for thy honor and for thy glory. We have heard of a keeper that was ready to take his life. Lord, thou knowest all things. Perhaps those struggling among young and old with suicidal thoughts, so dark, so impossible, no purpose and no use. But may they have heard thy word. Do thyself no harm. Lord, keep us and our children. Watch over us on this Sabbath day. Grant traveling mercies to and fro from and to thy house. Return us in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter 292, the stanzas 1 and 5. Praise the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies ever sure. From eternity have stood, to eternity endure. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a midweek service on Wednesday, July 13 at 7:30 p.m. Psalter 292, the stanzas 1 and 5. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.